Peter chapter 3 tonight, 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to look at one verse. And I know, ladies, you're saying, well, preacher, when you preach to us, it's like three verses. The men only get one. Well, that's because y'all are smarter than we are, and y'all can take in more. And God said, you know what, fellas, y'all, one verse is about all you can handle. And I'm glad, because, you know, sometimes we're not the smartest. Amen. You know, one thing that we got to learn, you don't have to have all the answers, but you got to surround yourself with people that do know the answer to stuff. And I'm glad that God gives us help meets. Just yesterday, Miss Ellen and I celebrated our 25th anniversary. And we went to eat. And I know, you know, all the, what's the tradition of black-eyed peas and collard greens and cornbread and all that stuff. And you know, people are superstitious, Brother Fry. You know, if I don't eat them black-eyed peas, then I'm going to have bad luck. Well, I started my own tradition. I went and had me a big old filet and asparagus. And I think I'm going to have the best year ever. Amen. Because anytime you get to eat red meat, it's good. Amen. And we had a good time, and I appreciate my wife. I appreciate Miss Ellen. And we're going to go on a trip later on in the month and get away for a few days. And I tell you what happened. We're going out of country, and then we applied for our passports. I had one, but I had to get it renewed. It hadn't been renewed in several years. And so she got hers back in the mail, and mine was still out there, and then the government shut down. I thought, that wouldn't be real good. I'd have to find somebody had a passport to go on my anniversary trip with my wife. And so, but it came in, praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 7. You can remain seated tonight. The Bible says, likewise. Now, that word likewise means this, in the same way. It means in like manner, similarly. It's an adverb with three tenses. It means we're to do like we've been taught. When we see that word, we need to go back and see what God said in the previous verses. So, fellas, you don't just get one verse. You get four verses. You get all the verses God's already spoke about. Plus, he's putting a plus sign there, plus this, fellas. Amen. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So here's what the Bible's telling us, that just as in verse 6, the Bible said, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, he's saying in verse 7 that, fellas, we're to treat our wives the same way. And you look at it and say, well, I didn't get that. Well, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 5, and most time we preach on this, preach on the home and all those good things. And the Bible says this in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, and even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands. But look at this. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So here's the responsibility that we have, fellas, as husbands, is not just to be the leader of the home. We are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Now, let me say this, because here's the way we are, right? We think, ladies, well, if my husband doesn't love me like that, then I don't have to do what the Bible tells me to do. That's not it. And fellas will say, well, if my wife is not willing to let me be the head of the home, then I don't really have to love her as Christ loved the church. No, that's not it. See, the thing is, if my wife never puts herself under my leadership, I'm still supposed to love her as Christ loved the church. If I never am really qualified, if I never live our life and love her like Christ loved the church, then to obey God, she still has to do her part. And so we have to get out of this mindset of, do unto me, or I'll do unto you as you've done unto me, and realize that we must just simply obey the Bible.
So as we look at this scripture tonight, fellas, we understand that the husband is the head of the home. That's what the Bible teaches. If the woman is the heart of the home, the man is to be the head of the home. And this is the order which God has set forth. It's not my order. It's not your order. It's God's order. And it is a great responsibility, one to which each man will give an account for when he stands before the Lord. So as we look at that, fellas, before you start beating on your chest because you're the head of the home, you better realize that one day you're going to stand before the God of all glory and give an account for your home and for the way you led that home. And so we are not to lord over our home. We're to lead it. Amen? Because that's what Jesus did. Hey, a shepherd leads sheep. He doesn't stand behind them and prod them on. A shepherd leads sheep. And if we're going to be the right kind of leader in our home, we must be out in the forefront leading the home. And so here are three things I'll help you with tonight. Ladies, they got their pen out so they can take notes. And they're going to say, okay, honey, let me give you a refresher course on what preacher preached on. Amen. That'd be fine. But number one, the husband is to be considerate. He's to be considerate. Look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And so giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So he is to be considerate. What does that mean? Well, first of all, he is to be a help. You say, well, how can he be a help? Well, let's use the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus, of anybody that's ever walked the face of the earth, could have told his disciples, I'm going to sit on this stump, and you serve me, and you serve the 5,000, and I'm not going to do anything. When the first miracle Jesus performed in his earthly ministry was at the wedding when he turned the water into wine. And so he didn't say, I'm going to go to the wedding and y'all take care of everything. He was actively involved in the lives of other people. And so if you really want to be the leader that you need to be and the head of the home, you're not to boss or bully. When Abraham hurried his wife to the kitchen to bake bread for his company, you remember what Abraham did? He went out in the field and he killed the fatted calf. And while she was getting things ready, Brother Fry, he was setting the table. Hallelujah. And so it's a partnership, and we're to be a help in the home, not just necessarily just sit in a chair while everybody else does something. We're to be a help. Amen. We ought to help our wives. We ought to help our children. We ought to help our home, and realize that more hands that are involved in doing something makes lighter work. So we should not demand, but we ought to lead by example. That's what Jesus Christ did. He never asked his disciples to do anything he wouldn't do himself. If we're going to be like Christ, men, if we're going to love our wives as Christ loved the church, then we have to serve them, because that's what he did for us. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He set the example in leadership. And what's amazing to me, finally, the corporate world is grabbing onto this and talking about servant leadership, how that leaders should serve people and teach them to serve people. And if everybody's serving each other, more gets accomplished. Years ago, the boss man would sit in the corner office, nobody'd see him, and he would dictate to everybody what should be done. But we see the example of Christ is to lead by example. So he's to be a help, and then we see the honor. Likewise, husbands dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Well, that doesn't sound to me like the Lord wants us to treat our wives like slaves. Say amen, ladies. Look at your husband and say amen right there, buddy. We're to honor them. The fact is, one of the definitions, you remember when Abraham changed Sarah's name from S-A-R-A to S-A-R-A-H, that word Sarah in that form, one of the definitions is princess. My mama's back there saying, I knew that all along. Hallelujah. Is princess. So Abraham called his wife princess. Fellas, I wonder if we would start calling our wives princess if they'd be a little bit more willing to allow us to be the head of the home. Hallelujah. I'm not getting a lot of help tonight. Ladies, you can say amen. Some of you hadn't said amen in your whole life, but this would be a good night to start. So, amen. So it'd be much easier for them to submit if we treated them like princesses. Amen. Hey, listen, the better you are to them, the better they're going to be to you. Given, it shall be given. Amen. And so if we expect honor, We must give honor. Give, and it shall be given. Hey, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Reap what you what? Sow. It's a biblical principle. You're going to get back what you give. And if you treat her like trash, guess what? You're probably going to get it back. You treat her like a queen, she might treat you like a king. Well, I don't know about that, preacher. I'll tell you what I've learned in my lifetime. That's why you've been married 14 times. You ain't learned nothing. You know what would be smart with people? Quit playing games. Just quit playing games. Young people, quit playing games. Brother John, it's a jockeying position. Amen. I got to do this, and I'm trying to figure out the next move they'll make, and I'm going to figure out. Just be honest with them. Say, hey, I don't like that, or I do like that, and if you're compatible and you really want to love each other and please each other, you'll figure that out. You'll save yourself a whole lot of headache and heartache if you'll bypass all the games. It'd be much easier if we'd honor them like the Bible tells us to, and then we're to be considerate not only in our help and our honor, but also in our honesty. See them as the weaker vessel and know their limitations. That's what the Bible said here. He said, giving honor unto the weaker vessel. Likewise, husbands, dwell them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the weaker vessel as unto the and as being heirs together. So we have to be honest. Listen, you ready for this? You married her, and you're not going to change her. Go ahead. You look and say, well, I don't like that, preacher. I don't care if you like it or not. Unless the Holy Ghost of God changes her, she ain't going to change. Unless the Holy Ghost changes you, you're not going to change. And so you say, well, I would like a wife like so-and-so has. Well, number one, you're probably going to get your face bashed in with a frying pan if you say that. But number two, you picked her. You picked her. When you said, I do, you did. Man. You say, well, I wish I had a wife that cooked more. You should have figured that out before you said I do, because now you did. I mean, it's, you know what happens, bro? That people get all goo-goo-eyed, don't they? Oh, we're in love. You're not. Yeah. And I know the Bible said love covers a multitude of sins, right? But sometimes it makes people dumb. And ladies, you think, well, he acts like this before we get married, but after we get married, I'll tell you what he's going to do. No. I know she doesn't cook or clean or, whatever. She likes to spend money like it's going out of style, but once we get married, I'm putting my foot down, and she'll stomp your foot. I mean, once you see what I'm saying? You ought to figure all this out before you walk down the aisle. So when I do premarital counseling, say, why you get married? Because we love each other. So that's a dumb reason to get married. It is. We love each other. You better get married because it's God's will. Because you know what? That feeling you got to love, that's going to fade. But listen, when you say I do, you didn't just make a promise, you made a vow. And so you better make sure it's God's will that you marry the person you're going to marry, because once you say I do, you know what you did? You did. Amen? And so see them as the weaker vessel and know their limitations. Fellas, you ready for this? You didn't marry your mama. Ladies, you didn't marry your daddy. Don't ever say, you don't cook like that. My mama did. You know what will happen? You may not ever get any food, ever. She may tell you to move back in with your mama if you don't like the way she cooks. So, listen, you know what? You ready for this? Time out. You know what the whole courting process is about? Young person, it's not about holding hands and giving sugar and all that garbage. It's about finding out about that person. It's about finding out if you and them are compatible spiritually. You ought to find all that out. Well, how do you feel about church? How do you feel about serving God? How do you feel about tithing? How do you feel about saving money? How do you feel about working? How do you feel? You better find all that out, because once you say you do, and then when you figure it out, sorry. There's been a whole lot of miserable marriages because you didn't do the homework before you got married. And you thought, well, we'll just figure it out together as we go along. That's a risky proposition. Do you realize that the divorce rate is almost over 50% in the world, in our country? I think in the world, but especially in our country. Do you realize that it's almost 60% among people, among Christians? Think about it. It's higher among Christians than it is among the rest of the world. Well, part of it's because people aren't getting married. They're shacking up. I know that. But you would think if people say they're saved and love the Lord and know the Word of God, you would think that they would understand what it means to get married. Good preaching. So it's honesty. It's realizing what God has called you to do, and realizing that your wife is the weaker vessel. That you know what is amazing? It is, how many of you understand this? In most cases, not everyone, but in most cases, people that are opposite usually get married. Not in every case, most time, right? You know why? I mean, I don't know if it's Gary Chapman or Larry Burkett said this. Said if there's two people that are identical and exactly alike, one of you is unnecessary. Right. If you got two people that are exactly alike, think the same way on everything, one of you is really not necessary. What God does, if we pray about it and we seek the will of God, God's going to find somebody. The word helpmeet means completer. So God is going to give you somebody, sir, that is good at what you're not good at. So instead of looking and saying, I'm the boss, you ought to look and say, God gave me somebody in some areas I'm not real good at, because they are good at it. You can't change your lover. So he is to be considerate. Number two, he is to be cooperative. Notice what the Bible said. And as being heirs, what's that next word? Together. If you had your Bible, you'd see it. Amen. If you had your Bible open, you'd see it. The Bible said, as being heirs together. That word together means partner. Now, I'm not real smart, but I know the word heir means that you're a recipient of something, right? Amen. So we're to be cooperative. In other words, we're to be a partner. We're heirs together. That means we work together. We work in making home work. We work at raising children. We work at encouraging each other. We work together at serving the Lord. You know, one of the things we try to do, it doesn't always work out this way, Brother Eddie, but we want families to serve God as a family. You know, Brother Matt and Miss Emily run a bus route together. Praise the Lord for that. They work in children's ministry together. Deacons and their wives work together. And that's what it ought to be. Families ought to try. And I know it doesn't always work out that way. But for a general rule, that's the way we want it. Husbands and wives ought to serve God together. Amen. Well, they ought to come to church together if they can. They ought to serve God together in ministry, because it makes for a more fulfilling partnership. So it's about working together. And that doesn't mean you got to be hand in hand, holding hands at everything you do. We do everything together. We wash dishes together. I'm not real smart, but I know this. If you know, there's some things you do together, but sometimes working together means that you do something and you do something, and something you may be good at and something you may. It doesn't mean we're holding hands, frolicking through the daisies together all the time. It means that maybe we have certain roles in the home that we're to fulfill, but we realize that and we're doing our part. It's good preaching. Amen. So we're to be partners, but we're also to be patient. See, we're bound together by more than marriage vows. We're bound together by Christ. We're heirs together of God's grace. Listen, if you get, this will help you if you'll listen to me. I need to listen to me. If you got two people that really understand the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, it'll fix your home. Because when you realize that you have absolutely no right to be upset with her, sir, but you don't know what she did, but you do not understand the grace of God, because you offended God a whole lot more than she ever offended you. Huh? Hello? Ma'am, when you understand the grace of God, that even when he doesn't act like he's supposed to, and you stay mad and you got your poochy lip out for about 6 years, and you know, he ain't sleeping in my bed, and he's got to sleep on the couch and all that good stuff. When you realize that God should have sent you to hell, but for the grace of God, all of a sudden, if you really understand the grace of God, it starts changing the way you look at each other. I said, I need to hear this too. So when we're patient, we're heirs together of God's grace. Don't expect God to do more for you than you're willing to do for your wife, sir. Now, God is going to do more for you because we're not capable to do and give like God gives, right? But it's amazing how we so much want to be the recipient of the blessings of God and the grace of God, but we don't want to be the giver of those things. Huh? We like it when God throws it on us, right? Hey, we like to be Ruth getting them handfuls on purpose, right? But she didn't keep them all. She went to Naomi and gave her some. See, Boaz gave to her, not just for her, but for her to give to somebody else. And so we like to be the recipient of all God's blessings, and we love to be the recipient as we sing about the blood, right? We're shouting, saying, it's the blood. That's right. But you realize that blood really manifested God's grace and showed that you didn't deserve it. So if God's going to do that for us, we ought to do it for our wives. Ladies, you ought to do it for your husband. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we ought to do it for each other. Extend grace. As a leader, we must work together patiently for the glory of God. See, here's the thing. God put you together if you've prayed about it, and it's God's will. God's one put you together. Can we agree with that? Now, if you just went out in the flesh and did your own thing, and I know let's be square. I'm not standing up here. She wouldn't mind me telling this. Me and Miss Ellen, it wasn't like we prayed about it and we know this is God's will for our life. And Brother Fry, it wasn't a spiritual matter at that stage in our life. God has honored that. Yes. He's honored our commitment to each other. But I'll stand tell you, we're the exception, not the rule. We're the exception. And I believe it's God's will for us to get married. But we didn't spend time, Brother Matt, seeking God's will, right? You're looking at me strange. Listen, I wasn't always saved. I wasn't always called to preach. We were the exception, Brother Fry, not the rule. So what I'm saying is, if you pray about it and God puts you together, that ain't you making the decision. That's you allowing God to put you together. And when you say those vows, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. You know what you're saying? We believe God put us together. And when you say that vow, sir, ma'am, what you're saying is, I'm a man, I'm a woman, let no man. That includes me. When you say you do, you did. So we're patient. We're committed, fellas. You know what? I'm going to say this. Some men just, I think what they need more than anything, they need some good old boys to take them out in the woods and just beat the snot out of them. Because here's what bugs me. You ready? And you see this. Guy gets to be about 45, 50 years old, and he says something like this: I just don't love you anymore. Why? Because she stayed home, raised your kids. Her body was abused so she could have your kids. She's got the signs of age and all that on her. And now you're going to say, I don't love you anymore. I won't go find me somebody younger. I'd take them out in the woods and just work them over real good. Because if you disfigure them, she wouldn't even want him. Amen. She probably would. But it just breaks my heart, because here's a woman give her whole life to raising children, making a good home. And some jackless, I just don't think I love you anymore. I found me a younger woman. And if you're the younger woman, guess what he's going to do probably? Amen. I'm just getting real with you tonight. I wouldn't have said that, preacher. Well, that's why you're not up here and I am. See, he's to be cooperative, be patient. As a leader, we must work together. Number three, he is to be careful. Notice what the Bible said. Being heirs together of the grace of life, notice this, that your prayers be not hindered. So we're to be careful in our partnership. Peter uses the word hinder to describe what happens in the home when the husband lapses into low standard of marital conduct. In other words, when he doesn't love his wife like he's supposed to, the Holy Spirit's grieved. Fellas, you may as well just save your breath. If you're not right with your wife and you're going to get down and pray, God's not going to hear you. Just save your breath. It describes a husband's failure to treat his wife with love, kindness, and consideration. So we're to be careful in our partnership, because our partnership affects our prayer life. We're to be careful in our prayer life. When we fail to treat our wife like God commands, it hinders our prayer life. It's an obstacle to our prayers getting through, and it's an obstacle to our prayers getting answered. See, when you don't feel like God's answering your prayer, maybe you ought not look at everything else. Maybe you ought to look in the mirror and see if you're the problem, sir, ma'am. Because if we're not careful, we start looking at everything else instead of just looking at us. We like, you know what? We like to be the man. We like to be the head honcho, you know? Everybody likes to be the, you know, I want to be the supervisor because they get paid more money. You see these guys, do you realize, I heard this week, Brother Johnny, there are 8 NFL coaching jobs open. NFL, think about that. Everybody's like, I want to be the head coach. You know who goes first? Head coach. The big man, right? Amen. Hey, they don't fire the quarterback. They don't fire the special teams coach. They don't usually fire the trainer. They say, hey, we want to shake it up big. We're going to chop the head off the snake. You know why? Because they get paid big money. See, everybody wants they want the glitz and the glamour, right? But they don't want the responsibility that goes with it. The responsibility is one day we're going to stand before the Lord, give an account. Now, I want to say this, and I hope you understand this. You know I'd never do anything to hurt anybody in this church. I love y'all. I'm not judging you. I don't know your past. We all got a past. You said, well, you said something, preacher, and I just got offended because I don't know your past. I don't go digging around in your boneyard. You don't dig around in mine. But wherever you have been is not where you are now. You know what Brother Fry said? If you missed it Sunday night, that is a good message. And if you weren't listening intently, forgetting. That's what you're not going to ever go forward until you forget. I mean, I was sitting there when he was preaching that, and I was going, that is so simple, but so helpful and relevant. Forget it. Doesn't matter what you did 10 years ago, 20 years ago. You made a mistake. Okay. Were you going to let that define you? Sir, because you weren't the husband you're supposed to be to a former wife or whatever your situation, are you going to be one now? Ma'am, because you weren't the wife you should have been before in a relationship, are you just going to forget that? Don't you forget it and say, you know what, I'm going to be what I need to be now. Amen. Young person, don't make the mistake.
Right.
Just don't make the mistake, because you got your whole life ahead of you. You say, well, preacher, look at all these people in here that are in church and God's forgiven them. I know that, but I promise you this, almost everyone, if you asked them, they'd say, I wish I'd have prayed about it. I wish I'd have been wiser about it. Because even though you'll be forgiven, you'll have scars. You'll have scars. God will forgive you, but you'll have some scars that will remain. Now, I'm not real smart on some things, but if I know something's dangerous, I'm not one of these guys, you know, people always seeking all these thrills. I'm not going to jump out of an airplane. Now you say, I think it'd be fun to go parachuting. Help yourself. And you say, well, it's safe. Until it isn't. It only takes one time for your chute and your secondary chute and the third. How many you got? And I'd be the one guy. I'd be the one, Brother Paul, that none of the chutes worked. And when I splatted, I'd be hollering at y'all saying, I told you I didn't want to do this. I'm not that guy. I'm not a, you know, thrill seeker, a daredevil. I don't want to do all of that stuff. I like stability.
Yes.
I don't want no motorcycle. Hey, guys, I want me a motorcycle. Help yourself. I don't, because I know me, and I'd be the one that laid that thing down and ripped the half my body off. So you ride your motorcycle if you want it. I like my four doors and my four wheels on the ground. Hallelujah. Yeah. Just do it. That's what you want, do it. So you know you could get hurt, but you're going to do it anyway. Well, see, that's where a lot of people are with their relationship. They see all the warning signs, but they say, I'm going to do it anyway. But why would you do that? If the Bible warns you about it, and you know that there's danger up ahead, and you're going to do it anyway and say, well, I'll come out of it. You know? But what if you don't?
Exactly.
What if you don't? What if you're the one? You know? You know how people get hooked on drugs? They say, well, I'll just try it this one time. It won't affect me. Well, that's what they all thought.
Right.
Till they got hooked on it. Right? Why do you want to push it when God lovingly warns you and tells you, here's how you ought to do it? We're the worst, fellas, let's be honest. You know what they do? You get something, they give you an instruction manual. Right? They don't do that much now. You got YouTube videos. But you remember when you get something, the kids, and for the birthday, whatever, and it's put it together, and they give you an instruction manual, and you put out all the parts. I did this. Don't look at me, fellas. You did it. Don't be looking sanctimonious. And you put all the parts on the floor, and you looked in. I don't need that. And you put it together. And you got extra screws, extra wheels, and it still don't work. Yep. You know what we're saying? Somebody who built the thing gave the instructions, but I know better than they do. And you know what we do with the Bible? We do the same thing. God gave us instructions. I know better. Well, you wouldn't say that verbally, but when you don't obey what God tells you and you don't listen to Him, that's what we're saying.
Right.
You want the right kind of house, right kind of home? Be the head of the home. Ladies, be the heart of the home. But do it God's way. Do it God's way. God's way is always right. He gave you the instruction manual. Now use it. Now use it. You say, well, that's good for them, preacher, but I'm not married. Well, Lord willing, you will be one day, maybe. Don't you want to be the wife or the husband that God wants you to be? Use instruction manual. It's right every time. Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Thank you for your attention tonight.